It's good to be with you as always on a Sunday morning here, and especially on this, well, I was going to say it's a holiday weekend, but we've probably been stuck in the house so much we don't really notice it's a holiday weekend. But whatever we're doing, I hope you're having a good weekend. Just to intimate today, it's not often a very many intimations to read, but we do have one today. Next Sunday, I think, is the start of Christian Aid Week, and next Sunday we're going to show hopefully a short film to tell you a bit more about this year's Christian Aid Week. There'll be envelopes for those of you who wish to contribute, and Campbell, who is sitting at the rear at the moment, has envelopes. You can try and catch up with Campbell, Campbell Joss, after the service today if you wish to contribute and help in that way. So, the psalmist writes Psalm 106. Praise the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord or declare all his praise? Blessed are they who observe justice and who do righteousness at all times. We gather together now for our morning prayer, and I'm delighted to say that we're all feeling a wee bit more relaxed about the restrictions and the various bits and pieces that are happening, that we're able to go back to our rota for prayer. So Christine was going to do the prayer this morning, and she's right in front of me, so I shall depart and let Christine lead us in our prayer this morning.
Let's pray. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Lord, we come before you this morning in the quietness of this place. We rest in your unfailing love for us. You know us better than we know ourselves, and yet you still love us despite all our weaknesses. Forgive us for the ways in which we have let you down this past week, for the unkind thought, the convenient lie, the gossip which we participated in. Help us to never take your love for granted, but continue to be amazed by your faithfulness to us. We are like sheep, easily confused, a bit daft at times and needing direction. We praise you that you are our shepherd, our guide, and our protector. We pray that you would still our hearts and allow you to speak to us. Help us to leave all the cares that we have brought with us today at your feet. You understand all the challenges that we face. Help us to trust you with them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, it's good to see you. I wonder if you're coming today, but I came back in and you were there. So it's great to see you this morning, Jonathan. And this morning we're going to move on to talk about Luke chapter 5, and that's a passage where Jesus calls the first disciples, he calls the first people to follow him. It's the first ever passage I ever preached on, I think. You can be relaxed, I'm not giving you the same sermon as I did all those years ago. I don't have it now, and I'm glad I don't have it. But anyway, I wanted to talk about that, and Jesus tells people he wants them to be fishers of men. So I have a little fishing game, and I thought maybe your mum or dad could help me with this. So if I give your dad a fishing rod, okay, and I give your mum another fishing rod, I'm wondering if perhaps, I used to have two volunteers that did this for me in the olden days, but those volunteers are grown up now and no longer comply. So
I wonder.
They are. Right, she might want to pick a fish.
Okay.
Right, don't quite know what that kind of fish is. A bit of a jellyfish. Okay. Uh-huh. Do you want to try one? Okay. Okay. Right, well, let's see what you've got in that one. What is that? What do you think that is?
Is that a jellyfish?
Is that jellyfish?
Seahorse.
That's definitely a seahorse. That's definitely a seahorse. We'll try a couple more. Let's put them over here. Let's try a couple more. If anybody else wants to play, just put your hand up and I'll bring the fishing rod over, okay? So, okay. That looks like a Nemo fish from Finding Nemo, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
And do you want to try another one? It's a starfish, so we've got a Nemo. Which is what they call a clownfish, is that what they call it? Is Nemo a clownfish, I think? Okay. And a starfish, that's great, thanks. We'll take those back. Just a wee bit of fun to get started. And we have some fish, because Jesus told us, they told the disciples that they were going to change their lives and they would be fishers of men. But there's another interesting thing happens in the passage, because Peter actually looks at what happens when they bring in all the fish, and Peter turns around and said, "Oh, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." And I brought an umbrella this morning. Robert thought I was just being cautious about the weather, but I really had a reason for bringing the umbrella. And we're in the west end of Glasgow, so it's a posh umbrella. You can just rest assured it's a posh umbrella this morning. So anyway, I brought an umbrella because sometimes when we hear the gospel preached, or when people have heard the gospel preached, they kind of think, I don't really want that. And it's a bit like Peter when he says, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." And they kind of put the brolly up. It's a bit like putting a brolly up above your head to stop the message getting through. It's a bit of a barrier, and people actually don't want to engage or to hear the gospel. But sometimes God perseveres with us and God sticks with us and the message gets through and God can see through. See what I did there? God can see through what we are doing. I'm feeling underappreciated this morning, I'll tell you. So, God can see through our plans, but God knows what's in our heart and Jesus sticks with us and perseveres. And sometimes that call gets through and people do end up committing and giving their lives to follow Jesus. And we were just singing, singing in our hearts, but we were listening to that song there. So there's two aspects. There is a bit about being fishers of men, but there's also a bit about perhaps sticking with it. And even if we think we know Jesus and we're trying to get the message of getting the gospel over to other people and we feel they haven't engaged, sometimes we need to stick with it and work to allow other people to hear that message, and that God does allow them to come and know Jesus as a saviour for themselves, and they come to profess their faith, and they too can become fishers of men. So sometimes when we put barriers up, God can still work past those barriers to call people to follow him. So there are two props for the price of one this morning, and we're going to think about that a bit more now as we turn and we read that passage. So let's move now, if we can, to reading the passage in Luke chapter 5. I'm trying to see where I put my glasses, because I need them to read the passage. Where are they? Thank you. I've just brought my wee Bible this morning, and the text is rather small on my wee Bible. So we're going to turn now to read this. Oh, it's up there. I could read that. Read the passage at Luke chapter 5. So let's read the first 11 verses. Let's listen for God's word to us. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding round him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled up their boats on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Amen, and thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word. We're going to think about this message and this text before we move on to the sermon, and this is a piece by Stuart Townend called "Speak, O Lord." Thanks, Douglas. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, we come to you as always with thankful hearts for the freedom to worship you and to be able to open our Bibles and hear your word preached and look at it and reflect on that. So as we look at this passage that is probably quite familiar to all of us, we pray that this morning your spirit would descend, that it would enlighten us and teach us, that it would show us ourselves and show us our Saviour. Amen. Well, to begin with this morning, I would just suggest perhaps, as we're getting out and we're able to enjoy some freedoms a bit more, that you imagine that you are perhaps you've gone to Loch Lomond for a day out and you've made sure you've left early so that you're not fighting over a parking space in Luss on the west side or Balmaha on the east, and you've parked and you're looking along Loch Lomond and you can see all the activity in the loch, and Ben Lomond is towering high above everything and it's sunny. Well, of course, it's Scotland, so it's not really that warm, but the water's actually quite cold, as freshwater lochs are always cold in our country. And hopefully you've got that picture in your minds now, because I'm going to ask you to change that and imagine it without the majesty of the mountains and without the chill, perhaps, and it's rather warm and has very dry soil. And if you do that, you'll get a better picture of Lake Galilee that you can see in these pictures. And the reason I've done that image is because Lake Galilee actually has about the same water mass as Loch Lomond. Probably isn't shaped quite the same way as if you try and, as it is in Loch Lomond, but if you try and picture what Lake Galilee might be like, that's the kind of expanse of water we're talking about, something like Loch Lomond. And perhaps instead this morning of being at Luss, we find ourselves at Capernaum, the little fishing village and home of Simon. Well, that's the setting today for this famous encounter that we're looking at. And as we get to this point today, you'll see Jesus by now has a reputation as a preacher, and the crowds are coming to follow him. And in the story today, we hear the crowd are pressing in on him to hear the word of God, and there was Jesus standing by the side of the lake preaching. So Jesus sees two boats with the fishermen next to them washing their nets, and Jesus steps into a boat and tells the fishermen to put out a little from the shore. From there, he finds it easier to address the crowd with his voice carrying easily across the water. And it's this wonderful encounter to look at as we see what is the beginning of this three-year period of Jesus' earthly ministry and the people he calls to follow him through to Jerusalem and to the cross. So, as we look at these first disciples, I want to look today at three things that we can see and learn from, these being the three signs of a disciple being listening, repenting, and following. Listening, repenting, repenting, and following. So our first one today is to look at the listening disciple. Because if we're going to follow, we have to have listened and engaged and hooked into the message and chosen to do so. And we have the verse there which says, when he stopped speaking, he said to Simon Peter, launch out your nets. He listens and then he responds. So let's look at that now. Whereas people listen to the voice of Jesus, well, we can't do that exactly. We can't hear Jesus speaking to us certainly under usual circumstances. So our route is to listen to what God wants us to know that Jesus said. I'm sure Jesus also said lots of important things that didn't make it into the Bible. But what we need to know is there, because God has ordained that it's there. So today we can listen to the same encounter as if we were there watching and listening. So in the passage we read about Simon, it seems he already knows who Jesus is. He responds quite familiarly to Jesus and calls him Master. So he seems to have met Jesus and understood by this time who the figure was. But at that point, it hadn't changed his life. And it highlights the fact that a lot of people can listen to what Jesus says, although their lives remain largely unchanged. You know, some weeks you slightly different circumstances just now, but under normal circumstances, you maybe go to the door after the service and people will come to you and say, well, I found your sermon interesting, or I enjoyed your sermon today. It's nice, but it's not really the kind of response you want. You want it to engage with a part of people's lives and make a change. It's actually much more satisfying or rewarding if somebody comes and picks you up in something and says, tell me more about that, or what does that mean, or so forth. We want people to engage with the word being preached because we really want it to make a change. So the thing is, we will all no doubt know someone who can sit and listen, but you might think that they just carry on their life as if what they've heard meant absolutely nothing to them. We have to be able to hear and engage and react to it. But there's one thing, though, just to finish this first point. We must get our lives sorted whilst we can. There's always going to be somebody who says, I'll do it tomorrow. But of course, for that one person somewhere, tomorrow won't come. And it's interesting because if we read on through the Gospels, we get to a point that Jesus gets frustrated with the people at Capernaum And he tells them that they'll be taken to Hades, hell. Some of the people listened, but didn't do anything about it. We are called not just to listen, but to react and commit to following Jesus. We're called to do something about it. And that day, Simon makes a change. He does something about it. So the second point is about repenting. And Simon Peter does that. He says, Lord, leave me, for I am a sinful man. Now, this is all a bit intriguing. It's not obvious what Simon feels he needs to repent from. We don't get to hear what he's done that he thinks is sinful. The big thing, though, is this huge catch of fish. These experienced fishermen have been out all night and they haven't caught anything. And it seems that night time is when you would get the best catch. Now, I've never been fishing, but it seems that during the daytime, when there's so much light shining on the water, the fish don't come to the surface. So night time is the best time to fish to give yourself a better chance. But here they are, back ashore in the morning. They've been out all night and they've come home. And along comes this carpenter who tells them to go out again and give it another try. Let's stop and think about this for a moment. A group of fishermen are being told to go back out again and put their nets down by someone who's perceived to be an expert in woodwork. You wouldn't normally give it a second thought. A good example I had was at my last church, where a group of people who told me to stick to what I knew. They were called the property committee. They knew I was utterly hopeless when it came to anything to do with property. It was great when it came to repairs in the manse, because they knew if they didn't come out and do it themselves, it wouldn't get done. So anything at the manse was usually attended to quite quickly. But they would say, like, Derek, you stick to what you do and we'll stick to what we do. They didn't trust me when it came to practical matters. So what happens here would be like me going along to a property committee meeting and telling them that I had a better way of doing a job. My suggestion simply wouldn't be taken seriously. But here, Simon knows enough to say, because it's you telling us, we'll give it another go. Even when he thinks that Jesus doesn't know that much about fishing, he knows enough already about the work that Jesus has done to at least go through the motions for him out of respect. So when they net all these fish, they realise that Jesus isn't just someone with influence over others. He has a real influence over their sphere of life, which is fishing. He knows more about fishing. He just knows more about everything. And then, when Simon says that he is a sinful man, he doesn't just seem to be thinking about any one thing he's done wrong. He just seems to have that overwhelming sense and an awareness that compared to Jesus, his life is just, it's just wrong. It just lacked something. When we're told to repent and believe the good news, it's not about a big finger pointing at every wrong thing we've done. It's about us making an undertaking that our lives have been heading in the wrong direction. We need to change course and plot a journey, turning away and plotting a journey that takes us to follow Jesus, following where he leads us. Simon's sinfulness is an awareness, really, of his own inadequacies and how sufficiency for him will come through following Jesus and seeing Jesus as Saviour. Not just knowing about Jesus, but committing and following him. And then to complete this, there is the listening disciple. Jesus told them that they would be fishers of men, but first they had to choose to follow him. And there's so much we could ask them. What did they do with all they had? Did someone carry on the fishing business? Did they sell it on to someone else? What did their family say when they went home and told them what had happened that day? We aren't normally being asked to leave everything behind the same way. Although I suppose if you're going to be a missionary, then that's relevant. Because we come to faith where we are. But there is still a challenge. If we are turning from our old life, where Jesus simply wasn't our saviour, and we've realised that he is the only saviour and Lord, there will be things that we want to let go of. There'll be things that we realise take us away from the life that Jesus expects rather than closer to it. And we find all these as we turn to follow our Saviour. Sometimes things that aren't an issue suddenly become issues when we realise that Jesus is King and our lives are about following him, and there can be a cost to that at times. But Jesus doesn't just tell them to follow him, he tells them that they will be fishers of men. They are to go and learn to win people for Jesus. But more than that, what they're going to do is tell people how Jesus is the answer to the question we all ask. How do we find meaning in life? We find it when we see who Jesus is and why he came. And if we grasp that, the other jigsaw pieces fall into place more easily. It's a big step. And when Simon realizes his own state, his own sinful state, he tells Jesus to leave him. He puts that barrier that I spoke about earlier up. But of course, Jesus doesn't just leave him. Jesus stays with him, just as Jesus stays with us who follow and trust him. And I read a saying, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. If someone comes to realise that Jesus is Saviour, that's the way to enabling them to live for eternity. And that's what Simon Peter did after Jesus ascended to heaven, and it's the same for us too. That's why I chose to be a preacher, to be able to have the privilege of telling people literally what the meaning of life is and how they can find eternal life. In effect, though, of course, if you know this yourself, you want others to know it too. You don't just want to keep it ourselves. But we're called to tell other people the gospel message, but we wouldn't want to keep it to ourselves. Why would we not want other people to know how to inherit eternal life? So to close today, let's just recap. Firstly, Simon listened when Jesus spoke. He didn't just hear, he listened. Secondly, Simon obeyed even when it seemed ill-guided. And then the third one, Simon turned to follow Jesus. He left everyone behind. The thing is, what part of your life do you struggle to let go of? What would you not want to part with? Do we sometimes just struggle to obey and to follow? And the answer is this. Although these fishermen knew what it was all about, to get that wonderful catch, they didn't have that one thing they needed, a saviour. Jesus came into their lives and changed them to save them. And he wants you to let him into your life too. And we cannot simply sit in church and listen and nod our heads. In terms of how to be a disciple, we have to obey, we have to commit to follow Jesus. Do we struggle to give things up? Well, as I also read the other week, when Jesus is all you've got, you really realise that Jesus is all you need. Once we are prepared to leave our lives behind, everything we need for the journey ahead will fall into place. Amen. Let's stop and reflect for a moment, and we listen to the music from 485, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. Thank you. Just like to thank Christine for her prayer earlier on, and we turn now to our prayers for our wider world, our prayers of intercessions. And as we do that, I'm going to add in a prayer that the Church of Scotland have published regarding the current situation in India. So let's bow our heads and pray. Jesus Christ, the true vine, in our need we come to you. In weakness, needing your strength. For we too easily become dry and lifeless without your life-giving spirit. Jesus Christ, the true vine, teach us to remain in you and so to find your life flowing in us, giving strength and vigour to our discipleship. And as we come closer to you, our lives are drawn closer to others. Our minds turn to images of violence we have seen. News where there's places of fear and terror, where people are at loggerheads over race and religion and land and power. Our thoughts turn to Christians living with persecution, who face danger simply for being linked with you. So, Father, prune back all that stands in the way of peace. Our thoughts turn to people in leadership and power who have decisions to make over the economy and people whose jobs and livelihoods will be affected. And we think of everything we've seen in the coverage of the terrible situation with COVID in India. And the skies which cover Scotland are the same skies which crown India. Under the one sun, we turn in prayer to you, God's Son, Jesus. The pain of loss and grief that sees tears flowing through that land of India, we pray, will be met by the love and compassion of fellow human beings worldwide. Creator God, we know that all are your people. Help us to share your love through grace-filled generosity and through heartfelt prayers directed to you, whose tears mingle with those of your people. So help us today, we pray, to hold out our hands and to open our hearts. And we do that in the name of Jesus. And as we think closer to home, we pray for our own nation and its leaders. May changes and choices be shaped by the values of your kingdom, Lord. On our hearts, we know people who are in need of your church and community. Wherever hearts are breaking, where bodies are failing, where minds are confused, where families are ruptured, Lord, come with your health and help and healing. And here too, as your church gathered today, we give thanks for the saints of the past and the fruit they have borne in our community and beyond. Like them, help us to remain in you, that we may be fruitful and bring glory to your name. And we pray through Jesus Christ, the true vine, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn today, number 396, And Can It Be? Thank you. let's dedicate our offering. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you call us to give of our talents, our time, and our money. And so this morning we bring these offerings to you, knowing that it is in giving that we receive, in denying ourselves that we discover true riches. So we bring these seeking no reward except to know you better and to serve you more faithfully. For in that is fullness of life. Lord, receive our praise for that priceless gift in Jesus' name. Amen. And now as we go from here, may the grace, mercy and peace of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit rest upon each one of you now and evermore. Amen.